Morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is your test. We are on your Chesamad base. We're right halfway down in the Amud. Yesterday we talked about Hilchos Nida. We spoke Hilchos Nida, but we spoke about the basic topic of Nida as the Mishnah contrasted the cases of Nida and Bias B'Mikdash, where under those circumstances a person finds himself in the Mikdash and was tummy in the base of Mikdash, so he has to make a beeline out, which we discussed already for a number of days. And then the Mishnah itself, back in the beginning of the second parak, said that by Nida, while in the course of Nida, the wife says, Tamei ani, so under those circumstances, he does not make an immediate exit, but he must wait and delay in his exit. And so yesterday, the Gemara in detail discussed and described the various halachas and the psukim in which we learn these halachas from. As long as we got into the topic of the Nida, so the Gemara went over a couple of halachas of Nida, and then just to finish up from yesterday's daf, we're going to be doing a couple of drashas as it relates to a husband and wife. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. Koshein Aparosh Mishto Samach Levesta. So that we discussed yesterday extensively this idea that a man has to separate from his wife as it is Samach Levesta. Samach Levesta, as we already discussed yesterday, when the expected time of her becoming a Nida comes about in a monthly schedule. So he has to separate from her during that period of time. The Gemara just said at the very end of yesterday's daf, it was a full ona, which according to Rashi over here means 12 hours, the 12-hour period of time. In other words, if she sees normally during the day, so it's the 12 hours of the day. If she sees normally at night, it's 12 hours of the night. Much more to discuss about this. I'm just giving the bare basics on this matter. But anyway, so the Gemara quotes in the name of the Rashbi that if a man does not separate himself from his wife during this period of time, so you have sons, and they're, even if they're as special as Aaron, so they're going to die. The Gemara says, look at the psukim that find themselves one next to the other. So you have a smichos aparshios between a woman while she's a nida and the death of the sons of Aaron. And from the smichos aparshios, we learn that if a man is not careful in hilchos nida, even in the hafrasha, even on the areas of not where he's actually living with her when she's a nida, but even just on being porish from her when it's samach leves, still the consequences are devastating. Amar Bichya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Kol Aparsh Meisho Samach Leves Avin Leim Benin Zecharim. Somebody who does do the proper afrasha, separation from his wife during this period of time, so the children are going to be that of Banim Zecharim. Dichsiv LaHavdil Ben Atame Ben Atar V'Smichle Ishikis Ezriyah V'Yalda Zechar. Again, the Smichas Parshios, where if a person makes proper havdalah, in other words, if a person properly separates himself, so then the next parsha of Kisazria, which opens up with Vialda Zachar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Avilam Benim Ruin Lahara. Your children are going to be fit to Paskin Halacha. Dechzil Lahavdil Ulahara. So again, the same basic idea from the Pesukim. You see that with proper havdalah, you'll be a Baal Hara. You'll be able to Paskin. Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Amavdom Ala Yayin B'Motzei Shabbosos. Anyone who makes havdalah and Motzei Shabbos and does so over wine, Avilam Banin Zacharim, once again, is going to be blessed with banim zecharim. Dechsev lahavdil ben kosher ben achol uksev hasam lahavdil ben atama ben atar v'smichlei isha ki sazria. Again, it's based on the smichos parshios. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar banim ruim lahora. And again, similar idea. Person makes havdalah over wine, so the children will be bnei hora. Dechsev lahavdil ulahoros. And one more comment about husband and wife. Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes. Amar Rebbe Al-Azhar, Kol HaMekadosh HaSatzma B'Shas Tashmish, a person who sanctifies himself at the time when he is intimate with his wife. Ha'avilam Benin Zacharim, again, is going to be blessed with Banim Zacharim. Shenem Raviz Kadishtem, V'yisim Kedoshim, V'smachle, Isha Kisazria, again, based on Smichos Parshios. What does it mean to be Mekadosh yourself when one is intimate with one's wife? So I recommend over here that you look at the Rif. The Rif comments on the Gemara over here. I'm not going to read the Rif inside, but the Rif comments on the Gemara over here. The Rif uses this daf as an opportunity to talk about Hilchos Nida. A lot of the Hilchos Nida that's found in the Rif is found over here in Shavuos, and the reason why is because of this daf of the Gemara, because of Shavuos daf Yudches. Okay, so that is further recommended reading in terms of more on this topic of discussion. Okay, we are now entering into the last portion of the second parak of Shavuos, and hopefully Mitzvah Hashem will finish up the parak this morning. Okay, you remember back in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah, again, like the first parak of Shavuos, second parak also, was totally front-loaded. All the Mishnahs find themselves in the beginning of the second parak, and then the Gemara just went from there. So, but one of the last things we learned back in the Mishnah, if you recall, the Mishnah finds itself back on Yudalad, and this is now the second half of the Mishnah, Yudalad Mudbeis, and the Mishnah brought in a couple of other sheets. I'm going to just read the Mishnah Kipshuto, and then the Gemara is going to try to analyze and understand the Mishnah. But I'm going back to the Mishnah on Yudalad Mudbeis, and I'm reading. The Mishnah writes, Rabbi Eliezer Omer HaSheretz V'Nela Mimenu Al Halam Sheretz Chai V'Enu Chai V'Al Halam Mikdash. So first the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, which is basically like this. You have to, in other words, to violate the Issur of Tumas Mikdash for Kedashav, you have to have a halam. You have to be unaware. What do you have to be unaware about? So you have to be unaware about your Tumah. Now, it sounds like what he's saying is specifically your Tumah Sheretz. But we'll explain that better in just a moment. But you have to be unaware of your Tumah. So in other words, you were Tumah, you knew you were Tumah, you forgot. You go into the Beis HaMikdash, you came out, and you, oh no, I was Tumah. Okay, so you had a Yediyah B'Tchila, and Yediyah B'Sof, but it has to be the halama, the unawareness has to go specific to the Tumah. Einu chayv halam mikdash. However, let's say you totally remembered you were tummy, but you forgot where the Beis HaMikdash was. Or you lost track that this is the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing. So under those circumstances, according to Rabbi Elazar, you're not chayv a carbon ola v'yored. The carbon ola v'yored, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is only for halam tumah, not halam mikdash. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva omer v'nela mimenu v'hu tameh. Al halam tumah chayv, einu chayv halam mikdash. Now Rabbi Kiva sounds awfully similar. Sounds like Rabbi Kiva is basically saying the same thing. Okay, which is what's going to prompt the Gemara to wonder, is there a difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer? Stay tuned, as we're going to see that in just a moment. And then, just finishing up the Mishnah, the review of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Amar v'nelam v'nelam she'epamim, it says nelam twice, l'chayev ahelam tuma v'al helam mikdash. According to Rabbi Shmuel, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says v'nelam twice, so that comes to teach me that you are going to be chayv a carbon ola v'yared, whether your unawareness was either on the tumah or it was on the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, every time I say Beis HaMikdash, I'm also including that as Kodesh as well, meaning either a violation of Tumas Mikdash or a violation of Kodesh, meaning you're tameh and you forgot this was carbon. So Mikdash and Kodesh in this regard are interchangeable. All right. So as we pointed out now, the Mishnah brings in three shitas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel. Clearly, Rabbi Shmuel is disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. That part's clear. The Rabbi Shmuel says that a person is going to be chayv a carbon ola v'yared, whether the halam is on tumah or on mikdash. That part's clear. What is not clear from the Mishnah, however, is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are focusing on tumah on halam tumah, becoming unaware of tumah. Then and only then are going to be chayv a carbon ola v'yared. For sure, they're of the opinion that halam mikdash does not qualify towards the carbon ola v'yared. That part's clear. Is there a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva? I read the Mishnah. Hard to see a difference. The Gemara discusses. So we find ourselves now in Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Sheretz V'Nela Mimenu V'Chulei. Okay, so we just went over the entire Mishnah, entire second half of the Mishnah. Mai B'Nayu. And the Gemara's question over here is very simple. Is there a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva? So Amar Chizkia Sheretz V'Nevela Ika B'Nayu. So Chizkiah is of the opinion, yes, there's a difference between them, and that is Sheretz v'Nevela. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Let me just read a little bit more Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Savar be'ina adiyada, ibe Sheretz itme, ibe Nevela itme. Rabbi Kiva Savar lo be'ina adiyada, dekevan diyada di'idme ba'olam, lo tzarech ibe Sheretz itme, ibe Nevela itme. So according to Chizkiah, and the Gemara is going to tell us in just a moment, Ula agrees. According to Chizkiah, there is a halachic difference between the two. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, so it's not only that you have to be unaware that you were Tameh, but you have to be unaware of specifically how you became Tameh. So in other words, for Rabbi Eliezer, in order to be Chayv HaKarbon Ola V'Yared, you have to have forgotten not only that you were Tameh, but you were Tameh Sheretz. Now, not specifically Sheretz as opposed to Nevela, but in other words, that you were Tameh specifically through a Sheretz. So let's say, for example, you were Tameh, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and you knew you were Tameh, you were just... It escaped you. How did you become tummy? Was it Tumas Sheretz? Was it Tumas Nevela? I don't know. But I for sure have a very clear memory that I was tummy. So for Rabbi Eliezer, that's insufficient. In order for Yediyah to qualify as a Yediyah, you had to know specifically how you become tummy, either through a Sheretz or through a Nevela. Now, why should that be? Meaning, how come it is that You have to know with in a specific nature why that should be. So the Gemara in a moment is about to tell us, it's based on the Pasuk. I'll read the Pasuk inside. The Pasuk, which we've seen already a number of times. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tamei. O benivlas chaya tamei. O benivlas behema tamei. O benivlas sheretz tamei. V'nel amimenu. It is interesting that the Pasuk, when describing that the person became unaware, the Torah then seems to be a little bit verbose. The Torah is going over. He becomes Tameh either by coming into contact with the carcass of an animal, or of that of an undomesticated animal, or that of a sheretz. And the Torah gives these all these examples. So for Rabbi Elazar, you know why the Torah gives all these examples? Oh, I see why. Because in order to qualify to bring carbon olav yarein, you have to be specific on what kind of Tumah, in fact, he came into contact with. Now, as we know, just a little bit of Hilchos Tumah Tahara right now, as we know, there's a difference between Sheretz and Nevela in terms of Tumah. The difference is that by Sheretz, how does the person become Tameh through Sheretz? Negiah, only through Negiah. In other words, you have to physically touch the Sheretz in order to become Tameh. How much of the Sheretz do you have to touch in order to become Tameh? Not much of it. In other words, just a small part of the Sheretz. The shear of Tumah by Sheretz is Ke'adasha, the size of a lentil. Masha'enkim, when we're talking about Nevela, we're talking about the carcass of an animal. So first of all, how do you contract Tumah from an animal? So it could either be through either Maga or Masa, either touching or carrying the animal, carrying the carcass of the animal. Additionally, how much of the animal do you have to come into contact with in order to become Tameh? A Kezias. So in other words, Sheretz and Nevela are, even though both of them are an Avatumah, they're both a source of Tumah, but in terms of how much... You actually contract the Tumah, they're different than one another. So in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, for you to have to have become unaware of your Tumah, you have to know specifically, was it a Sheretz or was it a Nevela? They're both an Avatumah, but they're not exactly the same. So since they're categorically different, to be chayiv on the carbon olav yared, you have to know specifically how you become Tumah. That is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, no. As long as you knew you were Tumah going in, you forgot exactly how you become Tameh, but you knew you were Tameh. Then you become unaware. Then you go into the base of Mikdash. Then you come out and you realize, oh, no, I was Tameh. That's enough, according to Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva going to do with the Pesukim? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. V'chein amar Ula. Ula agrees with Chizkiah's understanding of this machlokas. V'chein amar Ula, sheretz nevela kebenayu, de Ula rami, de Rabbi Elazar, de Rabbi Elazar Mashani. Now we know Ula agrees with Chizkiah. And we know that according to Ula, he also learns it up the same way. And we know that based on the following. Ula himself was bothered between the stira of Rabbi Eliezer against another shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The shita seem to be crossing one another. Ula answers up the stira. And based on the answer, you're going to see very clearly that Ula agrees with Chizkiah. So, the Gemara now is going to be quoting a Mishnah in Krisos. Now, Rashi over here gives us the first half of the Mishnah in Krisos. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi Manavshach, Mishnah hi b'Krisos. So first Rashi tells us to open up Masechta Krisos. You're going to find the Mishnah over there. Chelev anosa lefanav. And the Mishnah in Krisos has a funny scenario. You have a piece of chelev in front of you and a piece of nosa in front of you. They're both in front of you. Chelev, of course, is the forbidden fats of an animal. Nosa is any leftover of a carbon. What do the two of them have in common? They're both aser to eat, and they both have with it a chiv kares. If you eat it b'mezid, and that means if you eat either one of them b'shogeg, you're going to be chayav karban chatas. So both pieces are in front of you, and what do? You help yourself to one of those two pieces. Achal echa mehem b'shogeg v'ini yodei eze mehem. Now you ate one of the two, you just don't know which one you ate. Okay, another scenario. I'm just reading Rashi, but Rashi is just quoting the Mishnah. Shabbos yom kippurim asa malacha be'echa mehem v'ini yodei be'eze mehem. So there was Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and they were close to one another. Okay, I'd like to say they were back to back, but As you know, once the calendars were fixed, that never is going to happen. Where Yom Kippur is going to fall out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. With the fixed calendar, one of the things that they made sure they ensured when fixing the calendar is that Yom Kippur is not going to fall out neither on the day before or the day after Shabbos. One of the prime reasons why they did that is because that would mean that at least there's a possibility of 48 hours where someone's not going to be buried. You can't bury on Shabbos, you can't bury on Yom Kippur. Yantav, you can bury Al Yidei Nachri. Yantav Sheni, you can even be more makel, as per the Gemara in the beginning of Beitzah. But anyway, but Shabbos and Yom Kippur, if they were back-to-back, so that could result in a 48-hour period of no burial, and without refrigeration, that's unthinkable. So they just made sure that Yom Kippur would either fall out on Shabbos itself, or on Thursday, or on Monday, but not Friday or Sunday. Anyway, that was a digression. Sorry. I mean, it was a good one. But the so Rashi over here, just quoting the Mishnah in Krisus. So another example is that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are near one another, and he violated one of those days. Now again, same story, right? Violating Shabbos b'mezid is kares, and so therefore b'shogeg is karban chatas. Violating Yom Kippur, so it's an iser kares, so b'shogeg you bring a karban chatas. But what he forgot was, oh yeah, I know I was mechala one of them. I just forgot which one. So ishto nidav achoso ima babayis. And the third example, certainly awkward, but the third example of the Mishnah Krisus is that his wife is a nida, and also his sister, and both of them are in the house. And shogeg ba'achas man ve'eni yodeh be'ez man. And he was shogeg with one of the two, he just didn't know which one. And again, his wife is anida and it's a kares. His sister and it's a kares. So that means that a shogeg in either one of them would result in the karban chatas. Just didn't know which one. So Rebbe Elazar mechayev chatas Rebbe Yeshua poter. And Rebbe Elazar says that, look, I don't know what I did, but whatever I did is going to be mechayev me a karban chatas. Therefore, Rebbe Elazar says, you're chayev a karban chatas. And Rebbe Yeshua says, no, you got to know what you did. In other words, even though whichever one you did is going to result in a karban chatas, but that's not a karban chatas. A karban chatas is only when you know what you did. Fine. Now, with that Mishnah in mind, now we go back to our Gemara. Now the Gemara gives us the second half of the Mishnah. Amar Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. And so this is now the second half. Manafsha, chelacha achal chayev, nosa achal chayev, Shabbos chilo chayev, yamakipurm chilo chayev, ishtanida bal chayev, achosa bal chayev. So Rabbi Eliezer's argument to Rabbi Yeshua, really simplistic, but really good, and that is, what difference does it make? Whichever one he violated is going to result in a karban chatas. So the fact that he doesn't know, I mean, it'd be better if he knew, obviously, but mimanafshach, and this is one of the best mimanafshachs you're ever going to hear. It really doesn't matter which one he violated, either one is going to result in a karban chatas. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, Rei Omer. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, I fundamentally disagree. Because the Torah says, O hoda ilav chataso, asher chata ba, ashi yivadol chaba mechata. The Torah says that in order to be responsible, in order to be obligated to bring a karban chatas, it's not enough to just simply violate the avera. The Torah says that you have to know specifically what you violated in order to bring a karban chatas, meaning it's a halachin karban chatas. Karban chatas, yes, it's going to be mechaper you, but only when you can remember exactly what you did. In this scenario, since you don't remember exactly what you did, it's true. If you did either one of them, you're going to be karban chatas. But the karban chatas is only going to be mechaper for the person who can say, I know exactly what I did wrong. So, okay, so that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and Krisus. Now, focusing only right now on the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, so now Ula's bothered. Wait one second. Over there, when it comes to the karban chatas, so Rabbi Eliezer says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether he's that he's unsure about what he did. As long as he knows he did something wrong, he's chayav a karban chatas. Here, by the karban olav yared for tumas mikdash v'kadashav, what does Rabbi Eliezer say? You need to know how you became tameh. It is not sufficient to just simply know that you're tameh. You have to know, were you tameh with the sheretz? Were you tameh with the nevela? So now I'm putting the two sheets of Rabbi Eliezer side by side, and that's what we call a stira. So umishane, and on that Ula answers ha'asam asher chata. So now he looks at the pesukim regarding the karban chatas, meaning Rabbi Eliezer. And he says, look, what is the Torah? When is the Torah mechayiv you karban chatas or shir chata? As long as you sinned. Meaning that as long as you sinned, even though you don't know exactly what you did wrong, but as long as you sinned, that's enough to bring a karban chatas. But over here, when it comes to the karban olav yared, specific to Tumas Mikdash v'kadosh, what does the Torah say? B'chol davar tameh, al b'nivla sheretz tameh. Lamali. Why does the Torah, we already asked this question before, but now you'll see the Gemara actually speaking this out. Why does the Torah give specific examples of how you become Tameh? Wouldn't it be sufficient for the Torah just simply to say he becomes Tameh? And that's it. Comes Tameh, goes into the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Torah says he comes Tameh with either Nivla Sheretz or Nivla Behema. Why does the Torah give all these examples? Shmami na bi'ina na di'ade b'sheretz itmeh b'nevele itmeh. Because you need to know how you become Tameh. Then and only then are you going to be eligible to bring the karban olav yared. If all you did was just remember that you were tameh, but you don't remember how you were tameh, so that's not going to result in a bringing of a karban olav yared. So, Ula noted that seemingly the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer over here in Shavuos, in the second paragraph of Shavuos, is going against the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer in Krisus. In Krisus, he doesn't bother him that you forgot exactly what you did wrong. As long as you know you did something wrong, that's enough to bring a Karman Chatas. Over here, by Yedias HaTumah, by Tumas Mikdash, so you have to know specifically how you become Tameh. So they don't seem to agree with one another. So Ula's Mitaritz, he answers up the Stira. What do you see clearly from Ula? He's in agreement with Chizkiah that when he learns our Mishnah here in the second parak of Shavuos, and he's learning the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer demands that. It's not enough to know that you were Tameh, but you have to know how you become Tameh. And that is that's in contrast to the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah says that, no, you don't have to know how you become Tameh. As long as you know you were Tameh, that's enough. Very good. Now for Rabbi Akiva. Now, as long as we're here and we're trying to understand now the Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, why, according to Rabbi Akiva, does the Torah give all these examples? Meaning, let's just simply turn the question now on Rabbi Akiva. So for Rabbi Eliezer, we have a very good pshat, a very good reason why the Torah gives all these examples when it comes to the idea for Tumas Mikdash, because you have to know how you become Tamei. But for Rabbi Akiva, what are all these examples for? So the Gemara explains, ID, top of your Tesam and Aleph, I did the Bai Lemichta Behema V'chaya L'chidarebi K'siv Nami Sheretz. So the Gemara says, well, look, the Torah has to go over both Behema and Chaya. So, and the Gemara back in the first parak explained that according to Rebbe, neither was a requirement to spell out both Behema and Chaya. So the, that we discussed back in the first parak. So as long as anyway the Torah has to spell out Behem and Chaya, so then the word Sheretz kind of came along for the ride. But in other words, but don't read critically into the word Sheretz as if to say, oh, you have to know how exactly you become Tamei. No. In other words, Behem and Chaya were really the key points of the Pasuk, and Sheretz comes along for the ride. And do you have that? I know this is going to run counter to a lot of what we say during the daf, but do you have that? Do you have just simply expressions in the Torah coming along for the ride? The Gemara says, yeah, you do have that. I'm sorry, not Mishar, it's Kid Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara teaches us through Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Call Parsha Shenamar V'Nishnes, Lo Nishnes, Ela Bishvil Davashin Es Chadishba. Sometimes you'll have an entire Parsha being repeated for one Chiddush. Okay, and what is that telling you? It's telling you that sometimes you'll have expressions in the Torah that come along and are not necessarily meant to teach us a chiddush. Maybe the entire reason why a parsha gets repeated is just simply for one chiddush. And that means that you have other psukim coming along for the ride. So over here, so Rabbi Akiva will tell you, that's the same story over here. It says sheretz? Yeah, I know it says sheretz. But that's not what the Torah is trying to drive at. What the Torah is driving at is that it needed to say behema, it needed to say chaya. Again, go back to the first parak for a description, the discussion of why that is. That's what the Torah is trying to be mechadish over here, but it's not sheretz. It's not the repetition of sheretz. Okay. V'Rebbe Eliezer, hi, ba my avid lay. Gemara now asks the question. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, so now you have the word ba, meaning, remember, we're now back in the Mishnah and Krisos. In the Mishnah and Krisos, for Rebbe Eliezer, when you chayv a karban chatos, when you did an avera, which avera did you do? Doesn't matter. As long as you did an avera that's chayv a karban chatos, even though you don't remember exactly which avera it was, that's enough to bring a karban chatos. And the reason why is we go back to Joseph, what we learned a moment ago, because the Torah says asher chata. In other words, as long as you sin, that's enough. Now, if you remember, back in that Mishnah Krisus, Rabbi Yeshua disagreed. And the reason why Rabbi Yeshua disagreed is because the Torah says asher chata ba. You have to know exactly what you did. Now, clearly, when Rabbi Eliezer is reading the pasuk, he's reading the same pasuk, and the Torah over there says the word ba, what is Rabbi Eliezer going to do with the word ba? Hi, ba, my avidle. That's the Gemara's next question. So, pratlam isasek. So, the Gemara says that what he does with the word ba is it's an exclusion for the case of misasek. Meaning, you're going to be chayv a karban chatas for violating an isser kares b'shogeg, but only when you were intent on what you were doing. If you were not intent on what you were doing, you're not going to be chayv a karban chatas. What exactly does that mean? So basically, we're now getting into the topic of misasek. Misasek is this idea that I wasn't even intent on violating an avera. Take a look at Rashi over here on the top. The Amud Rashi writes, give me examples of misasek. B'davar heter, Kralim Misasik Bedavar Heter. So, I'm sorry. First, read the Rashi all together. The Dibra Maschel with the beginning of Rashi. So, you're Misasik Bedavar Heter. Meaning, right now, you're being involved in something which is perfectly allowable. Uvali Ado Isser. And while you're doing something that's Beheter, you then, by accident, do an Isser. Volonis Kafin Lagufa Shalzeh. And that wasn't your intention at all. Keep going. Okay, so that's the theory of Misasik. Let's put that into practical examples. Rashi does so. Niskam lachtoches atalosh, v'chatoches amechubar. You go into the field on Shabbos. In other words, before Shabbos, what you did is that you plucked out some cucumbers. But in other words, you didn't want to bring it into your house before Shabbos. Who knows? Maybe it stays a little bit fresher out there in the field. Whatever. Anyway, you know now that in your field you have already cut cucumbers from the field. So now, Shabbos morning, you want to make the salad, so you're going out now to the field to pick up your cucumbers. You're not plugging it out of the ground because you know that's a malachan Shabbos, that's coats there. So you go out to the field now and you're going to pick out your cucumber. You're now looking to pick up the cucumber you thought was already detached. And then, oops, by accident, you're picking up a cucumber now that's attached. You pull on it a little too quickly and you snap it from the ground on Shabbos. Says Rashi, that's an example of misasik. So, So that's an example of misasik. That's one example of misasik. So you understand? You had no intention of violating an isser. In fact, there was, Rashi gives the example, there was something that was talish out there in the field. But what you did is by accident, you reached for the wrong cucumber, you picked it up from the ground, you detached it from the ground. That's one example of misasik. Rashi gives another example of misasik. This next example of Rashi is discussed. Okay, so this is similar to what we discussed a moment ago, but the Mishnah in Krisus was talking about where both women were usher. Here, we're looking for examples of misasik. So a man had his wife in the house and also a sister as well. And then again, it's as awkward as one can imagine, but instead of his wife, it was with his sister. So that's another example of misasik. So these are examples of misasik, says Rashi, and one would be pater, meaning it would not be chayv karban chatas. Okay, you ask me, does that mean it's mutter? The answer, of course, is yes, it's mutter, but keep in mind, when we're saying it's mutter, it means not realizing what you did is mutter, meaning... This is not, you can't call this a het, it's not a heter. It just simply means that because you made the mistake, and because what you were intent on doing was something which was mutter, so therefore you're not going to be bringing a karban chata. So the idea that saying a misasik is mutter, it's just simply not the right way to express it. That doesn't express itself that way. The second example of Rashi is really interesting, and just raise the issue. And obviously there's much more discussion to be had about this. But the second example of Rashi is basically, he's looking at a case of misasik as it relates to arayos. We know, the Gemara says a number of places, not here, but a number of other places, that if you're misasik b'chalavim, you're going to be chayev. That if you eat chalev, or for that matter, get hana from arayos, you're going to be chayev even if it's through misasik. Why? Because when you eat chalev, you're benefiting. There's hana. When you, same thing with arayos, the person's having hana. So in other words, even if it's misasik with things that provide hana, because the person gets hana, so therefore he's going to be chayev. Rashi over here, when giving examples of misasik, oddly enough, Rashi gives one of the examples of arayos. How could Rashi do that? Rashi knows the Gemaras. Rashi knows that misasik b'chalavim is chayev. Okay, so that second example of Rashi is really interesting. Demands much more intent. Nizkavin lachtoch kasever talish v'nimsa mechubar. So, I'm sorry, v'ezu chayev. Now, Rashi over here gives a contrast case, meaning, so now we establish what's the case of misasik, the example that we just gave, where you know that there was detached cucumbers out in the field, you reach for what you thought was a detached cucumber, and meanwhile it was attached. That's the case of misasik. What's the case of where it's not misasik? Next part of Rashi. You reach for that cucumber, you thought that cucumber was detached. You didn't look carefully enough. Turns out, wasn't detached. So, oh, kasavar hayom chol. Oh, kasavar malachas emuteris. Oh, mekamakam lazunis kavi. You were intent on doing this action. You just didn't realize that today was Shabbos. You thought it was Sunday. V'chein, ba'al ha'chosef niskaven l'guf zeh k'savru ishto. Or a man takes his sister thinking it's his wife. But in other words, he didn't confuse women. He just, I mean, he did confuse women. But in other words, but if it was for that woman that he was going for, so under those circumstances, says Rashi, these are not examples of misasik. And therefore, if these are not examples of misasik, what does that mean? Yochai v'karmen chatas. Rashi clearly is working with the opinion over here. I mean, Rashi's saying it as clear as possible. Rashi's saying that in order for something to qualify as misasik, there has to be an option of heter and an option of iser. You were going for the heter, and by accident you went to the iser. So for Rashi's examples of misasik, both have to be opportune to the individual. If there's a case where there's only one thing available, it's just that he got confused in terms of whether it was mutar or aser. That's not misasik, that would be a shogeg, a person would be chayv karban chatas. On this point of Rashi, so take a look at Tosfos over here, second Tosfos on the Amud, he takes exception to the way Rashi defines misasik, and again, not for now, not for the daf, but Tosfos takes exception to Rashi's qualification. Okay, Rashi's definition. We go back to the Gemara. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Okay, so now, let's just outline what we've seen so far. In the Mishnah, two shitas in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. In terms of what you have to remember in order to qualify for the Karban Olah V'Yareh. They both are of the opinion that it's Tumah, not Helam Mikdash. That part's clear. Is there a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? So far we saw the opinion of two Amarayim, Chizkiah and Ula. And they both say, yes, there's a difference. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it is not enough to remember that you were Tameh, or I should say better, to lapse into into the fact that you were Tameh, but you have to know how you became Tameh. Was it through Tumah Sheretz or was it through Tumas Nevela? Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, no, you don't need that kind of specific knowledge. You just simply have to have known that you were Tameh. How you become Tameh is not critical in order to bring a Karban Olah V'Yareh. So according to both Chizkiah and Ula, that is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Contrast that to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'mashmaos darshanika b'nayu. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is practically nothing. It just happens to be how to learn up the psukim. But in terms of what practically comes out to be different, nothing becomes different. V'chein amar avsheshes, mashmaos darshanika b'nayu. The only difference is how to learn up the psukim. Derav Sheshes, in other words, the Gemara says that, I'm sorry, before we get to the Rav Sheshes. So we have really, according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yochanan and according to Rav Sheshes, we have this idea that when they learn the Psukim, they both arrive at the same conclusion. It's just a question of how exactly to say Pshat in the Psukim. Meaning, basically, just a disagreement in Perish Hamilim, but same halachic conclusion. Rav Sheshes machluf the Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Lazar. In fact, when Rav Sheshes was saying over Shir, so sometimes what he would do is he would confuse the opinions of Rabbi Lazar to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Lazar. Now, if there's a nafkamina, I mean, if there's a practical difference between them, so Rav Sheshes, the Gemara is assuming Rav Sheshes wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have just confused the names. Oh, Rabbi Lazar says, and then he goes on to quote Rabbi Kiva's position in this halachic matter. And then he would quote Rabbi Akiva, and then he would say over Rabbi Eliezer. And how could he be machlev? How could he just simply switch around the shitas? So the Gemara says, because there's no practical nafkamina. Is it still important to give proper attribution to each one of the shitas? Of course. But in other words, it's less egregious when there's no practical difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. According now, so fine, so machlokas amarayim, whether or not there is a practical difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, but as I point, no, Rav Sheshes. Well, first of all, Rav Sheshes is agreeing with Rav Yochanan. What?
Is he agreeing?
Yeah, now in this regard, he's agreeing. Yes, he's a later Amora, but in this particular, it wouldn't. I don't know if it would bother me so much if they disagreed. In other words, they're both Amoraim. You're right. Historically, Rav Sheshes comes later. Not that much. Rav Sheshes was a Talmud of Rav. Okay. But in other words, but they're both on Maraim. But still, in this particular matter, they agree with one another. Okay. By me ne Rava me Rav Nachman. Halam zev zebi yadomahu. Now, according to both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, you're only going to qualify for a carbon olav yared only on the halam tuma, not in halam mikdash. Question, says the Gemara. According to their shitas, okay, and there may be a fine difference between them, there may not, but according to their shita, let's say a person becomes totally absent-minded, meaning not only became unaware of his tumma, but also becomes unaware that this is the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, for them to bring a carbon olav yared, you're only chayv only on halam tuma, not on halam mikdash. This particular person had a halam on both. Is that going to affect their position? That's the question of the Gemara. So, b'minei Rav Mirav Nachman halam zevi yado mahu amalei harei halam tuma biyado v'chayev. So the Gemara says, well, he did become unaware of his tuma. It happens to also be that in addition to that, he had halam mikdash. But let's focus on the fact that he had halam tuma. Therefore, he's going to be chayev. Adarabba harei halam mikdash biyado pata. So the Gemara says, okay, but the argument I can give really simple, straightforward. He also had halam mikdash, and they're poter on halam mikdash. Amar Avashi Chazin and Imituma Kaparish Are Halam Tuma Biado. Vechayev. Imim Mikdash Kaparish Are Halam Mikdash Biado Upater. So Ravashi tries to create a balanced approach to this question. Well, let's see. Meaning that what they're going to do eventually is they're going to snap out of it. They have to snap out of it. A, we like to think that they're, you know, they're not going to be in this state of unawareness forever. And B, and more importantly, you're only going to be chayev a carbon olav yared when you snap out of it. So what exactly are they snapping out of? Meaning, which realization do they have, which is going to have them come to their senses? Is it that, oh no, I was tamei, which then means then that was halam tuma, what I did was wrong, or was it halam mikdash? So Ravashi says, let's see what they become aware of first. So Amalei Ravina le Ravashi klum pirish mikdash ela misham tuma, klum pirish mituma ela misham mikdash ela loshna. So Ravina says to Ravashi, I don't understand your point. Meaning, so that he went into the Beis HaMikdash while Tameh, there obviously, either Halama is going to do the job. Meaning, if let's say he was unaware of his Tumah and he remembered that that was the Beis HaMikdash, well, he's going to go in because he forgot it was Tameh. If he remembered he was Tameh but he forgot that was the Beis HaMikdash, he once again is going to go in because he didn't realize that was the Beis HaMikdash. And if he had a Halama on both, well, how can you tell me, well, let's find out which one is the cause of him going in. Either halama would be the cause of him going in. So it's hard to pinpoint now that if and when he has a halama on both, let's see now which one is gonna cause him to stop. They are a tag team. I'm only going into the Beis HaMikdash because I forgot one of the two. So it's hard to simply pinpoint and say, oh, it's this one versus this one. Therefore, Ravina says it shouldn't make a difference. Rashi over here says it should make a difference, and therefore the person is going to be putter. Meaning, Ravashi seems to disagree with Rav Nachman's ruling. Rav Nachman says that if he had a halama, I take it back. No, he agrees. In other words, as long as included in his halama is a halama. I'm just thinking through my head right now. Sorry, he may not agree with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's of the opinion that if in this double halama he had halam tuma, so according to Rav Nachman, it's going to be chayev. And the way Rashi understands Ravina at the end, Ravina says that no, if there's a halama on both, he's going to be pater. Okay, sorry, I just thought that through my head. Well, anyway, let's just keep in mind, by the way, this is all within the shitas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, that you're only going to be chayav a carbon olav yored only on halam tuma, not on halam mikdash. Okay, lamaisa, right? Remember, the Mishnah says that you're chayav on all, on both on halam tuma and on halam mikdash. So the Gemara, remember we discussed that, so the Gemara says that was the sheet of Rebbe. Meaning in this regard, Rebbe sided with Rebbe Yishmael. Right? Gemara in the first parak spent some time trying to figure that out. Right? But that's the right question. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. And for the remainder of today's daf, we are going to be dealing with the following scenario. Shnei Shvilim, there are two paths, Echa Tam and Echa Tam, Etahor. You're going to see various versions of this this case, this construct scenario throughout Shas. Okay, basically, here's you'll see what we're trying to accomplish over here. There are two pathways to get to one destination. One path has tuma. When we say it has tuma, it means that laying across it is a kever. And let's just, for the purposes of simplicity, say that it covers the entire pathway. So if he walks down pathway A, so he's going to be, for sure he's going to become tame. On the other hand, the second pathway is free and clear. The B pathway is free and clear from any tumah. The issue right now that we are dealing with is we don't know which one's A and which one's B. We know one pathway is tame, we know one pathway is tahor, and he walks down now the pathways. They're going to be a number of different permutations of how this case can come up. So, Tan Rabban, Shnei Shvilim Echa Tameh Vecha Tahor. So these two pathways, Halach Berishon V'lo Nichnas, B'Sheni V'Nichnas. He goes down pathway A. Doesn't go into the base of Mikdash yet. Goes down pathway B. Then goes into the base of Mikdash. Is he now going to be Chayav HaKarban Olav Yared? So, the Braisa says, Chayav. Yep, you're going to be Chayav HaKarban Olav Yared. Because even though he doesn't know where the tumah was, he knows for sure the tumah on one of the pathways. He also remembers that he walked down both pathways. You put all that information together, he was tameh. Therefore, him going into the base of Mikdash, again, and when I say going into the base of Mikdash, beha'alama, he then forgot that he was tameh. Then he realized that he was tameh. So he's going to be chayv v'karban olav yared. Yeah, so again, a really good question. Tosas asked your question. I'll show you the Tosas later on, where Tosas asks your question. Halach Berisha Menechnas, Hiza, Vishana Vitavo. The Achakach Halach Besheni, Venechnas. In our second, example of this scenario, goes like this. He goes down one pathway. Again, what is a constant in these cases is we don't know which pathway had the tumah, but we know one of them did. He went down one of the pathways, and then, now, knowing that he may be tummy and he may have come into contact with Tumas Mace, so that he goes through the entire process of Tahara. He was, Hiza, Shana, Vitavo. Three steps in becoming Tahor from Tumas Mace. The sprinkling of the Paradum on day three, the repetition of the sprinkling of the Paradum on day seven, Tovaling in the Mikvah on day seven, including now also, we'll also add Harav Shemesh, at the end of day seven, and now he's totally tahor. And then what he does is he goes down the second pathway. And then after going to the second pathway, then he goes into the base of Mikdash. So, according to the Tanakama, Chayev. He would be liable to bring the carbon olav yared and Rabbi Shimon poter. And Rabbi Shimon says that he would be poter. The analysis will come in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bekulan mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda now quotes a variant viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, where in this variant viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, not only would he be putter from a carbon olav yared in the second example, but he would also be putter from a carbon olav yared on the first example as well. Now, the kulan v'afila berisha, we turn to your testament base. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. B'kamaisa. So in the first example, so how could you be parted from a carbon olav yared? Let's consider that first example again. You went down the first path. You did nothing, even though you may have been tameh. You went down the second path. You're now for sure tameh. Meaning because you now know that you went down both pathways. You know one of the pathways had tumah, even though you don't know which pathway it was that had the tumah. But again, you take the sum total of your actions. You know you're tameh. You go into the base of Mikdash while becoming unaware. So, of course, you're going to be chayav HaKarban Olav Yared. How can at least this variant version of Rabbi Shimon say that even in the first case, you're going to be potter? Miman of Shach. The Gemara asked the question on the top of your testament base. Tame who? Okay. And the second time today, we use the phrase Miman of Shach. But the person's tame. Amar Rav Achba Maizkin and Kagon Shalach Berishon, Vishal Shalach Besheni Shach Shalach Berishon. So, the Gemara says that according to Rava, Here's how the scenario would work, where according to this variant version of Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be potter even in the first case. You walk down the first path. And then, while walking down the second path, you forgot about you having walked down the first path. So now, this is what's called in halacha, mixas yidia. Mixas yidia, now you had partial knowledge. Are you tameh? So, you have a partial recollection. Meaning, if you had a full recollection, the answer, of course, is yes, you're tummy. Meaning, yeah, you not only knew you were tummy, but you walked down both pathways. One of them had tumma, even though you don't know which pathway had the tumma. But again, you take the collective total of your memory. Of course, you knew you were tummy. Here, however, when he walked down the second pathway, he totally forgot about having walked down the first pathway. So this is what's called an halacha mixus yedia. And now, what's the machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Prime? Right. In other words, the second version of Rabbi Shimon. So Tanakama Savar Amina Mixas Yedia Kachol Yedia. Rabbi Shimon Savar Lo Amina Mixas Yedia Kachol Yedia. And the machlokes is whether or not the Mixas Yedia qualifies as a full Yedia or not. Halach Beri. Okay, that is an explanation of Rabbi Shimon Prime. Halach Berishon V'Nichnas. He's a Vishon V'Tavol. Chazav Halach B'Sheni V'Nichnas. Chayv Rabbi Shimon Poter. Now let's go over the second case of the Braisa. And let's give analysis to the second case of the Braisa. Second case of the Braisa, he walked down one pathway. Was he Tamei? Maybe. Again, we know there's Tumah on one of the pathways. We don't know which one. So what he did is, took care of whatever Tumah there may have been. So he went through the full process of Tahara. Now he walks down the second pathway and, again, having forgotten now that he did so, goes into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tanakhama says he's going to be Chayav Karban Olav Yaron. Rabbi Shimon says he's going to be Pater. So the Gemara says, V'amai Chayav, really difficult to understand the opinion of the Tanakhama, Safek Yediyahi. Now over here, this is not what the Gemara described earlier as Mixas Yediyah, but this is rather Safek Yediyah. Meaning, what did he remember? He remembered everything there was to remember. Meaning, he remembers that he walked down the first pathway. He remembered that he walked down the second pathway. But again, in the second example, after having walked down the first pathway, was he Tamei? Maybe. But he took care of it. Meaning he went through a full Tahara. Now as he's going down the second pathway, is he Tamei? Maybe. But again, that's a maybe. That's an halacha called a Suffolk. So that is Suffolk Idea. So what is a Suffolk Idea in terms of the halacha regarding Idea? Meaning, in order to be chayav karban olav yored, as we've been discussing now time and again, you need a yediyah betchila and you need a yediyah besof. But is this a yediyah betchila? He may be tamei. That's called suffik yediyah. Is that enough? Amar Rav Yochanan kan asu suffik yediyah ki yediyah. So Rav Yochanan says that's enough. Suffik yediyah is going to be considered a full yediyah in this regard. Hold that in mind, and not only hold that thought in mind, but connect that with Rav Yochanan. That's going to be that little piece of information is important. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Reish Lakish Amar Hamani Rabbi Yishmalhi. Reish Lakish gives a really simple explanation. Yeah, you know what? It's a Suffolk idea, and you know what? The Suffolk idea really in halach is nothing. Now, it doesn't qualify as a idea, but you know what? The author of the Braisa didn't identify who authorship is. Reish Lakish says, I'll tell you who the author of that Braisa is. It's none other than Rabbi Shmuel. Damar lo be'ina yediyah betchila. As we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need a yediyah on the front end. Meaning for Rabbi Shmuel, the carbon olav yored is treated like any other carbon chatas. You only need a yediyah besof. You don't need a yediyah betchila. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, same thing is true over here. You don't need a yediyah betchila. So in other words, Reish Lakish says, Safek Yediyah, it's nothing. But that's fine, because the author is Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, now, Rami de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan, Rami de Reish Lakish de Reish Lakish, de Tanya. So the Gemara says, so what do we have right now? Seemingly a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. How do we look at a Safek Yediyah? Rabbi Yochanan says, Safek Yediyah is treated like a Yediyah. According to Reish Lakish, Safek Yediyah is really nothing. But nothing is fine because the Bryce is going like Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says, consider now the following brisa. Achal safik chela v'noda. Safik chela v'noda. There's a piece of chelev, or it may be chelev, unclear as to whether it's chelev or not. Chelev are the forbidden fats of an animal, as opposed to shuman, the permissible fats of an animal. The piece was in front of him, he ate it, and it may or may not have been chelev. Now, under normal circumstances, what do you have to do if you possibly violate an Isser Kares? You have to bring a special carbon called an Ashim Talui. Ashim Talui literally means a carbon asham that's suspended, meaning what it's going to do is it's going to suspend any punishment until you later discover that you for sure violated or you for sure didn't violate it. So it's megan, it protects you. We talked about that idea earlier in the Masechta. So it's special carbon oshem talui. What if now the Gemara's discussion, the Braisa is dealing with the following. He ate safek chelev, then learned. But when we say learned, what did he learn? He learned that he may have eaten chelev. And then he did it again. Rabbi Omer, kishem shemevi chatas, al kol echa ve'echa, kach mevi ashem talui, al kol echa ve'echa. Rebbe says, well, if this would have been a chata scenario, where he for sure ate chelev, then had a yediyah, then for sure ate chelev, then had a yediyah, he's going to bring multiple karbanos. So too, the yediyah suffix is going to break up these actions, and so he's going to need to bring multiple Ashem Talois. Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amr, Mishum, Rebbe Shimon, Eino, Mevi, Ela, Ashem Talui, Echad. These Tanaim quote in the name of Rebbe Shimon, you bring only one Ashem Talui. Shinemar, Al Shigagas, or Sheshagag, HaTorah Ripsa, Shigagas Harbe, Ve Ashem Talui Echad. You can be repeating multiple Suffolk Isure Kares and still only have to bring one carbon Ashem Talui. Basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, Gzeres HaKasav, that you only need to bring one Ashem Talui, even though you violated the act multiple times, and even though you had your Suffolk idea in between. The Amar Reish Lakish, so far we have the Braisa. Now on this, Kana Shana Rebbe, Yedias Fekos, Meschalkos, Lechataos. Reish Lakish says, oh, what do you see from the sheet of Rebbe over here? Rebbe deduced from this Braisa that we just learned together, that if you have Suffolk idea, just like that would divide an Ashem Talui into multiple chiyuvim, so too would that divide carbon chatasis into multiple chiyuvim as well. So, Reish Lakish says that what we just can deduce from this brace that we learned together is that a suffix idea is considered a idea. And Rav Yochanan Amar, Kishem Shidias Vadaim Ma'ama Mischalkos Lechatos, Kach Yidias Suffix Mischalkos Le'ashamos. Just like a Yidias Vada is going to divide Chatos, so too is Yidias Suffix going to divide Ashamos. Now, what is that issue over here? The fact that Rav Yochanan is not in agreement with himself, the fact that Reish Lakish is not in agreement with himself. Now, Rav Yochanan said that previously, that how do we look at a Suffolk Yediyah? We look at a Suffolk Yediyah as a Yediyah. But we just learned together that, according to Rav Yochanan, that's true only by the Ashem Talui. It's not true by Karban Chatas. So Rav Yochanan basically is crossing himself. How is Rav Yochanan looking at a Suffolk Yediyah? By the Karban Olah V'Yoreid, as a bona fide Yediyah. By a regular Karban Chatas, as nothing. That's a problem. But the Gemara says it's not such a problem. B'shlamad Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan lo kasha kan asu, v'lo b'chol ha-Torah kula asu. Hachu d'lo k'siva Yediyah behedja, mi v'ne'alam hu d'ka asi, v'lo b'chol ha-Torah kula asu. D'chsiv o'hada lav Yediyah ma yasa b'inan. Gemara explains, look, we'll make a following distinction, and it's a really good distinction. Is Rav Yochanan treating a Suffolk Yediyah as a Yediyah? Depends. And I'll tell you why it depends. If we're talking about Tumas Mikdash, then the answer is yes. Because even though by Tumas Mikdash there is a requirement of a Yediyah on the front end, it's not because the Torah says, oh, Hoda. The Torah used the words Vinalam. And what do we deduce from the word Vinalam? It means that there was some Yediyah beforehand, and he forgot it. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah doesn't actually use the word Hoda when describing the Karban Olah V'Yoreid, that means that the Yediyah that you need on the front end does not have to be bona fide. It does not have to be an absolute Yediyah. Even a partial Yediyah, even a Suffolk Yediyah is going to be sufficient. Whereas according to the Chata, whereas opposed to the Karban Chatas, where the Torah says clearly, Oh Hoda, which means that in order to have a Yediyah for the Karban Chatas, it has to be an absolute definitive Yediyah. A Suffolk Yediyah is going to be insufficient. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, the distinction is really simple. For Tumas Mikdash, for Kadashiv, the Yediyah can be even a Suffolk Yediyah. For the Yediyah of a Karban Chatas, has to be absolute. Good. Now, Ela L'Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, that's wonderful. And that works out well for Reish Lakish. That works out well for Rav Yochanan. But now, according to Reish Lakish, Adam Okim Leik Rebbe Yishmael Nukme Karebi. Now, the Gemara says, look, we remember the Brice that we learned a couple of moments earlier regarding the two pathways. It bothered us. Why? Because in the second scenario of the Brice, where he goes down pathway number one, then does a full tahara, then goes down pathway number two, then goes into the base of Mikdash. So, Yediyah bona fide? No, of course not. Meaning because we don't know which pathway had the mace. So, the Yediyah is only a suffix. And we were bothered. Well, it's only a suffix Yediyah, so then why, according to the Tanakhama, does that qualify for a carbon olav yoreid? When Reish Lakish was asked that question, so Reish Lakish says, the brace is like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require Yediyah at all. And now the Gemara asks a fantastic question. According to Reish Lakish, he just taught us that according to Rebbe, a suffix Yediyah is considered Yediyah. So before having to take that brisa and file that brisa under Rebbe Shmuel, why not file that brisa under Rebbe? And that would have been a better explanation. Because according to Rebbe, a suffix Yediyah doesn't qualify as a Yediyah. So that's the Gemara's question. Nukma k'Rebbe. Hakamashmalan de Rebbe Shmuel lo ba Yediyah b'tchila. So the Gemara says, well, you're right, Reish Lakish could have done that. But Reish Lakish wanted to emphasize the point that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need a Yediyah at all on the front end. So the Gemara says, Pshita, de lo bayim de lo miyasu lekra. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we knew that. Even without Reish Lakish, we knew that. Remember, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why is it that I don't need the Yediyah at all on the front end? Because what he does with the words vanalam is that he looks at it and he says, it says it twice in the Torah. Why does it say twice in the Torah, vanalam two times? One for Halam Tuma, and the other one for Halam Mikdash. He doesn't have any more Halamas available. If there are no more Halamas available, so then there's no requirement of a Yediyah on the front end. Venelam de Mechayel al Halam Mikdash. I'm sorry. Miyasra le cry. Venelam de Mechayel al Halam Mikdash. So, Mao de Teimaki leis, let me cry. Avam the Gemara Islay. So the Gemara says, you're right. For Rabbi Shmuel, if it were just for the Psukim, all the Psukim are used up. It says the word Venelam twice. According to Rabbi Shmuel, once for Halam Tuma, a second one's for Halam Mikdash. You're right. So for the Psukim, there's nothing left. But that's the Psukim. We don't just have Torah Shebichsav, we also have Torah Shebaal Peh. And it could be that according to Rabbi Shmuel, maybe through the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara describes it as Gemara, the Rashi describes it as Halach Lama Shebisinai. If it's through the Torah Shebaal Peh, maybe Rabbi Shmuel says that in addition to there being a Halam Tuma and a Halam Mikdash, there also is, at least from a Torah Shebaal Peh standpoint, not at least, from a Torah Shebaal Peh standpoint, there is going to be also a Yediyah requirement as well. And what Reish Lakish is now coming to teach us is no such Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the only things that are to be darshan are the Psukim. The Psukim only are going to give us Tumas Mikdash, Halam Tuma, and Halam Mikdash. There's nothing left, meaning nothing. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is simply no requirement of a Yediyah B'tchila. Without Reish Lakish reinforcing this point, I might have thought that there was some sort of Torah Shebaal Peh that Rabbi Shmuel held up over here. That's why Reish Lakish had to reinforce the point. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the second perek. Today we finished up the drushes regarding the Hilchas Nida. We talked out the Mishnah, the Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding the fact that there's only a Karban Olav Yorid for Halam Tuma, not for Halam Mikdash. Is there a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Machlokas Amarayim. Chizki and Ula say that there is a subtle difference between them. According to Rav Yochanan and Rav Sheshes, there is no halachic difference between them. And then we went on to finish up the day talking about concepts like Safek Yediyah, Mitzvah Yediyah. Is that enough to give a Yediyah for a for in order to qualify for a Karban Olav Yoreid? And so, just a quick summary. According to Rav Yochanan, the answer is going to be depends. For Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, even a partial Yediyah, even a Suffolk Yediyah is going to be enough to qualify, because the Torah never actually uses the word Yediyah when it comes to Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Whereas according to a Karban Chatas, a partial Yediyah is insufficient, since the Torah uses the words Vehoda. So therefore, you need a full and clear Yediyah in order to be Chayv a Karban Chatas at the end. According to Reish Lakish, disagrees. Reish Lakish says that even meaning this is not Reish Lakish's Shita, but Reish Lakish's understanding of Rebbe is that according to Rebbe, a Suffolk Yediyah would be sufficient, even for a regular Karban Chatas. Hadron Alach Yediyah Satam.